Christ. But when we pray according to his nature, which is love, which seeketh not its own, but only the will of God and the good of the creatures, such asking is the cry of his own spirit in our hearts. Jukes, that's J-U-K-E-S, the new man. End of the footnote. Or the union that empowers to the use of the name may be the union of love. When a bride whose life has been one of poverty becomes united to the bridegroom, she gives up her nature to be called by his, and has now the full right to use it. She purchases in his name, and that name is not refused. And this is done because the bridegroom has chosen her for himself, counting on her to care for his interests. They are now one. And so the heavenly bridegroom could do nothing less. Having loved us and made us one with himself, what could he do but give those who bear his name the right to present it before the Father, or to come with it to himself for all they need? And there is no one who gives himself really to live in the name of Jesus, who does not receive in ever-increasing measure the spiritual capacity to ask and receive in that name what he will. The bearing of the name of another supposes my having given up my own, and with it my own independent life. But then, as surely, my possession of all that is in the name I have taken instead of my own. Such illustrations show us how defective the common view is of a messenger sent to ask in the name of another, or a guilty one appealing to the name of a surety. Jesus himself is with the Father. It is not an absent one in whose name we come. Even when we pray to Jesus himself, it must be in his name. The name represents the person. To ask in the name is to ask in full union of interests and life and love with himself, as one who lives in and for him. Let the name of Jesus only have undivided supremacy in my heart and life. My faith will grow to the assurance that what I ask in that name cannot be refused. The name and the power of asking go together. When the name of Jesus has become the power that rules my life, its power in prayer with God will be seen too. We see thus that everything depends on our own relation to the name. The power it has on my life is the power it will have in my prayers. There is more than one expression in Scripture which can make this clear to us. When it says, quote, "Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus," unquote, we see how this is the counterpart of the other, quote, "Ask all," unquote. To do all and to ask all in his name, these go together. When we read, quote, "We shall walk in the name of our God," unquote, we see how the power of the name must rule in the whole life. Only then will it have power in prayer. It is not to the lips, but to the life God looks to see what the name is to us. When Scripture speaks of, quote, "men who have given their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus," unquote, or of one, quote, "ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus," unquote, we see what our relation to the name must be. When it is everything to me, it will obtain everything for me. If I let it have all I have, it will let me have all it has. Quote, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do," unquote. Jesus means the promise literally. Christians have sought to limit it. It looked too free. It was hardly safe to trust man so unconditionally. We did not understand that the word, quote, "in my name," unquote, is its own safeguard. It is a spiritual power which no one can use further than he obtains the capacity for by his living and acting in that name. As we bear that name before men, we have power to use it before God. Oh, let us plead for God's Holy Spirit to show us what that name means and what the right use of it is. It is through the Spirit that the name, which is above every name in heaven, will take the place of supremacy, and our hearts and life too. Disciples of Jesus, let the lessons of this day enter deep into your hearts. The Master says, "Only pray in my name. Whatsoever ye ask will be given." Heaven is set open to you. The treasures and powers of the world of the Spirit are placed at your disposal on behalf of men around you. Oh, come, and let us learn to pray in the name of Jesus. As to the disciples, he says to us, "Hitherto ye have asked ye have not asked. Hitherto ye have not asked in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. Let each disciple of Jesus seek to avail himself of the rights of his royal priesthood and use the power placed at his disposal for his circle and his work. Let Christians awake and hear the message. Your prayer can obtain what otherwise will be withheld, can accomplish what otherwise remains undone. Oh, awake and use the name of Jesus to open the hearts of heaven for this perishing world. Learn, as the servants of the King, to use his name. Quote, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, unquote. Lord, teach us to pray. Blessed Lord, it is as if each lesson thou givest me has such fullness and depths of meaning that if I can only learn this one, I shall know how to pray aright. This day I feel again as if I needed but one prayer every day. Lord, teach me what it is to pray in thy name. Teach me so to live and act, to walk and speak, so to do all in the name of Jesus, that my prayer cannot be anything else but in that blessed name too. And teach me, Lord, to hold fast the precious promise that whatsoever we ask in thy name, thou wilt do, the Father will give. Though I do not yet fully understand, and still less have fully attained, the wondrous union thou meanest when thou sayest, in my name, I would yet hold fast the promise until it fills my heart with the undoubting assurance, anything in the name of Jesus. O my Lord, let the Holy Spirit teach me this. Thou didst say of him, the Comforter, whom the Father shall send in my name. He knows what it is to be sent from heaven in thy name, to reveal and to honor the power of that name in thy servants, and to use that name alone, and so to glorify thee. Lord Jesus, let thy Spirit dwell on me and fill me. I do yield my whole being to his rule and leading. Thy name and thy Spirit are one. Through him, thy name will be the strength of my life and my prayer. Then I shall be able, for thy name's sake, to forsake all, in thy name to speak to men and to God, and to prove that this is indeed the name above every name. Lord Jesus, oh, teach me by thy Holy Spirit to pray in thy name. Amen. Note, what is meant by praying in Christ's name? It cannot mean simply appearing before God with faith in the meditation of the Savior. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he supplied them with petitions. And afterwards Jesus said to them, quote, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, unquote. Until the Spirit came, the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer lay as it were dormant within them. When by the Holy Ghost Christ descended into their hearts, they desired the very blessings which Christ as our High Priest obtains for us by his prayer from the Father. And such petitions are always answered. The Father is always willing to give what Christ asks. The Spirit of Christ always teaches and influences us to offer the petitions which Christ ratifies and presents to the Father. To pray in Christ's name is therefore to be identified with Christ as to our righteousness, and to be identified with Christ in our desires by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. To pray in the Spirit, to pray according to the will of the Father, to pray in Christ's name are identical expressions. The Father himself loveth us and is willing to hear us. Two intercessors, Christ the advocate above, and the Holy Ghost, the advocate within, are the gifts of his love. This view may appear at first less consoling than a more prevalent one, which refers prayer in Christ's name chiefly to our trust in Christ's merit. The defect of this opinion is that it does not combine the intercession of the Savior with the will of the Father and the indwelling Spirit's aid in prayer, nor does it fully realize the meditation of Christ. For the meditation consists not merely in that for Christ's sake, the Holy Father is able to regard me in my prayer, but also in that Christ himself presents my petitions as his petitions, desired by him for me, even as all blessings are purchased for me by his precious blood. In all prayer, the one essential condition is that we are able to offer it in the name of Jesus, as according to his desire for us, according to the Father's will, according to the Spirit's teaching. And thus praying in Christ's name is impossible without self-examination, without reflection, without self-denial. In short, without the aid of the Spirit. This is read out of, it's spelled S-A-P-H-I-D, the Lord's Prayer, page 411 and 142. With Christ in the School of Prayer, 25th Lesson, At That Day, or the Holy Spirit in Prayer. Quote, In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you. Unquote. John 16, verse 23 through 26. Quote, Praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Unquote. Jude, verse 20 and 21. The words of John, 1 John 2, 12 through 14. To little children, to young men, and to fathers, suggest the thought that there often are in the Christian life three great stages of experience. The first, that of the newborn child, with the assurance and joy of forgiveness. The second, the transition stage of struggle and growth in knowledge and strength. Young men growing strong. God's word, doing its work in them and giving them victory over the evil one. And then the final stage of maturity and ripeness, the fathers, who have entered deeply into the knowledge and fellowship of the Eternal One. In Christ's teaching on prayer, there appear to be three stages in the prayer life, somewhat analogous. In the Sermon on the Mount, we have the initial stage. His teaching is all comprised in one word, Father. Pray to your Father. Your Father sees, hears, knows, and will reward. How much more than any earthly father? Only be childlike and trust. Then comes later on something like the transition stage of conflict and conquest, in words like these. Quote, This sort goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, end quote. Quote, Shall not God avenge his only elect who cried day and night unto him, unquote. And then we have, in the parting words, a higher stage. The children have become men. They are now the Master's friends, from whom he has no secrets, to whom he says, quote, All things that I heard from my Father I made known unto you, unquote. And to whom, in the oft-repeated whatsoever ye will, he hands over the keys of the kingdom. Now the time has come for the power of prayer in his name to be proved. The contrast between this final stage and the previous preparatory ones our Savior marks most distinctly in the words we are to meditate on. Quote, Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name, unquote. Quote, At that day ye shall ask in my name. We know that at that day, we know what at that day means. It is the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the great work Christ was to do on the cross, the mighty power and the complete victory to be manifested in his resurrection and ascension. We're to issue in the coming down from heaven as never before of the glory of God to dwell in men. The Spirit of the glorified Jesus was to come and be the life of his disciples. And one of the marks of the wonderful Spirit dispensation was to be a power in prayer hitherto unknown. Prayer in the name of Jesus, asking and abiding, whatsoever they would, is to be the manifestation of the reality of the Spirit's indwelling. To understand how the coming of the Holy Spirit was indeed to commence a new epoch in the prayer world, we must remember who he is, what his work, and what the significance of his not being given until Jesus was glorified. It is in the Spirit that God exists, for he is Spirit. It is in the Spirit that the Son was begotten of the Father. It is in the fellowship of the Spirit that the Father and the Son are one. The eternal, never-ceasing giving to the Son, which is the Father's prerogative, and the eternal asking and receiving, which is the Son's right and blessedness. It is through the Spirit that this communion of life and love is maintained. It has been so from all eternity. It is so especially now when the Son, as mediator, ever liveth to pray. The great work which Jesus began on earth of reconciling his own body, God and man, he carries on in heaven. To accomplish this, he took up into his own person the conflict between God's righteousness and our sin. At the cross, he once for all ended the struggle in his own body. And then he ascended to heaven, and thence he might in each member of his body carry out the deliverance and manifest the victory he had attained. It is to this that he ever liveth to pray. In his unceasing intercession, he places himself in living fellowship with the unceasing prayer of his redeemed ones. Or rather, it is his unceasing intercession which shows itself in their prayers and gives them a power that never had before. And he does this through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the glorified Jesus, was not, John 7:39, could not be until he had been glorified. This gift of the Father was something distinctly new, entirely different from what Old Testament saints had known. The work that the blood effected in heaven when Christ entered within the veil was something so true and new, the redemption of our human nature into fellowship with his resurrection power and his exaltation glory was so intensely real. The taking up of our humanity in Christ into the life of the three-one God was an event of such inconceivable significance that the Holy Spirit, who had to come from Christ's exalted humanity to testify in our hearts of what Christ had accomplished, was indeed no longer only what he had been in the Old Testament. It was literally true. The Holy Spirit was not yet, for Christ was not yet glorified. He came now first as the Spirit of the glorified Jesus. Even as the Son, who was from eternity God, had entered into a new existence as man, and returned to heaven with what he had not before, so the blessed Spirit, whom the Son, on his ascension, received from the Father, Acts 2:33, into his glorified humanity, came to us with a new life, which he had not previously to communicate. Under the Old Testament, he was invoked as the Spirit of God. At Pentecost, he descended as the Spirit of the glorified Jesus, bringing down and communicating to us the full fruit and power of the accomplished redemption. It is in the intercession of Christ that the continued efficiency and application of his redemption is maintained. And it is through the Holy Spirit descending from Christ to us that we are drawn up into the great stream of his ever-ascending prayers. The Spirit prays for us without words. In the depths of a heart where even thoughts are at times formless, the Spirit takes us up into the wonderful flow of the life of the three-one God. Through the Spirit, Christ's prayers become ours, and ours are made his. We ask what we will, and it is given to us. We then understand from experience, quote, "Hitherto, ye have not asked in my name. At that day, ye shall ask in my name," unquote. Brother, what we need to pray in the name of Christ, to ask that we may receive, that our joy may be full, is the baptism of this Holy Ghost. This is more than the Spirit of God under the Old Testament. This is more than the Spirit of conversion and regeneration the disciples had before Pentecost. This is more than the Spirit with a measure of his influence and working. This is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the glorified Jesus in his exaltation power, coming on us as the Spirit of the indwelling Jesus, revealing the Son and the Father within. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 23. It is when this Spirit is the Spirit not of our hours of prayer, but of our whole life and walk, when this Spirit glorifies Jesus in us by revealing the completeness of his work and making us wholly one with him and like him, that we can pray in his name, because we are in very deed one with him. Then it is that we have that immediateness of access to the Father of which Jesus says, quote, "I say not that I pray the Father for you," unquote. All we need to understand and believe that to be filled with this, the Spirit of the glorified one, is the one need of God's believing people. Then shall we receive, then shall we realize what it is, quote, with all prayer and supplication to be praying at all seasons in the Spirit, unquote, in what it is, quote, praying in the Holy Ghost to keep ourselves in the love of God, unquote, quote, at that day ye shall ask in my name, unquote. And so once again the lesson comes. What our prayer avails depends upon what we are and what our life is. It is living in the name of Christ that is the secret of praying in the name of Christ, living in the Spirit that fits for praying in the Spirit. It is abiding in Christ that gives the right and power to ask what we will. The extent of the abiding is the exact measure of the power in prayer. It is the Spirit dwelling within us that prays, not in words and thoughts always, but in a breathing and a being deeper than utterance. Just so much as there is of Christ's Spirit in us is there real prayer. Our lives. Oh, let our lives be full of Christ and full of His Spirit and the wonderful unlimited promises to our prayer will no longer appear strange. Quote, hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. At that day ye shall ask in my name. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Unquote. Lord, teach us to pray. O my God, in holy awe, I bow before thee, the three in one. Again, I have seen how the mystery of prayer is the mystery of the Holy Trinity. I adore the Father, whoever hears, and the Son, whoever lives to pray, and the Holy Spirit, proceeding from the Father and the Son, to lift us up into the fellowship of that ever-blessed, never-ceasing asking and receiving. I bow, my God, in adoring worship, before the infinite condescension, that thus, through the Holy Spirit, taking us and our prayers into the divine life and its fellowship of love, O my blessed Lord Jesus, teach me to understand thy lesson, that is, the indwelling Spirit streaming from thee, uniting to thee, who is the Spirit of prayer. Teach me what it is as an empty, holy, consecrated vessel, to yield myself to his being my life. Teach me to honor and trust him as a living person, to lead my life and my prayer. Teach me specially in prayer to wait in holy silence and give him place to breathe within me his unutterable intercession. And teach me that through him it is possible to pray without ceasing and to pray without failing, because he makes me partaker of the never-ceasing, never-failing intercession in which thou, the Son, doth appear before the Father. Yea, Lord, fulfill in me thy promise. At that day ye shall ask in my name. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, that will he give. Amen. Note, prayer has often been compared to breathing. We have only to carry out the comparison fully to see how wonderful the place is which the Holy Spirit occupies. With every breath we expel the impure air which would soon cause our death, and inhale again the fresh air to which we owe our life. So we give out from us in consecration the sins, in prayer the needs and the desires of our heart. And in drawing in our breath again, we inhale the fresh air of the promises and the love and the life of God in Christ. We do this through the Holy Spirit, who is the breath of our life. And this he is because he is the breath of God. The Father breathes him into us, to unite himself with our life, and then, just as on every expiration that follows again the inhaling or drawing in of the breath, so God draws in again his breath, and the Spirit returns to him laden with the desires and needs of our hearts. And thus the Holy Spirit is the breath of life of God, and the breath of the new life in us. As God breathes him out, we receive him in answer to prayer. As we breathe him back again, he rises to God laden with our supplications. As the Spirit of God in whom the Father and the Son are one, and the intercession of the Son reaches the Father, he is to us the Spirit of prayer. True prayer is the living experience of the truth of the Holy Trinity. The Spirit's breathing, the Son's intercession, the Father's will, these three become one in us. With Christ in the School of Prayer, 26th Lesson, I have prayed for thee, or Christ the Intercessor. Quote, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith faileth not. Unquote. Luke 22:32. Quote, I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Unquote. John 16:26. Quote, he ever liveth to make intercession. Unquote. Hebrews 7:25. All growth in the spiritual life is connected with the clear insight into what Jesus is to us. The more I realize that Christ must be all to me and in me, that all in Christ is indeed for me, the more I learn to live in the real life of faith, which, dying to self, lives wholly in Christ. The Christian life is no longer the vain struggle to live right, but the resting in Christ and finding strength in Him as our life, to fight the fight and gain the victory of faith. This is especially true of the life of prayer. As it too comes under the law of faith alone, and is seen in the light of the fullness and completeness there is in Jesus, the believer understands that it need no longer to be a matter of strain or anxious care, but an experience of what Christ will do for him and in him, a participation in that life of Christ, which, as on earth, so in heaven, ever ascends to the Father as prayer. And he begins to pray, not only trusting in the merits of Jesus, or in the intercession by which our unworthy prayers are made acceptable, but in that near and close union in virtue of what he prays in us and we in him. Footnote. See on the difference between having Christ as an advocate or intercessor who stands outside of us, and the having him within us, we abiding in him, and he in us through the Holy Spirit, perfecting our union with him, so that we ourselves can come directly to the Father in his name. The note from Beck, that's B-E-C-K, of, I have to spell it, T-U-B, like in boy, I-N-G, E-N, end of the footnote. The whole of salvation is Christ himself. He has given himself to us. He himself lives in us. Because he prays, we pray too. As the disciples, when they saw Jesus pray, asked him to make them partakers of what he knew of prayer, so we, now we see him as intercessor on the throne, know that he makes us partaker with him in the life of prayer. How clearly this comes out in the last night of his life, in his high priestly prayer, John chapter 17. He shows us how and what he has to pray to the Father, and will pray when once ascended to heaven. And yet he had in his parting address so repeatedly also connected his going to the Father with their new life of prayer. The two would be ultimately connected. His entrance on the work of his eternal intercession would be the commencement and the power of their new prayer life in his name. It is the sight of Jesus in his intercession that gives us power to pray in his name. All right and power of prayer is Christ. He makes us share in his intercession. To understand this, think first of his intercession. He ever liveth to make intercession. The work of Christ on earth as priest was but a beginning. It was as Aaron he shed his blood. It is as Melchizedek that he now lives within the veil to continue his work after the power of eternal life. As Melchizedek is more glorious than Aaron, so it is in the work of intercession that the atonement has its true power and glory. It is Christ that died, yea more, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. That intercession is an intense reality, a work that is absolutely necessary and without which the continued application of redemption cannot take place. In the incarnation and resurrection of Jesus, the wondrous reconciliation took place, by which man became partaker of the divine life and blessedness. But the real personal appropriation of this reconciliation in each of his members here below cannot take place without the unceasing exercise of his divine power by the head in heaven. In all conversion and sanctification, in every victory over sin in the world, there is a real forth putting of the power of him who is mighty to save. And this exercise of his power